Hey everyone, welcome back to BrightLearn.ai. Today we're diving into something that's becoming more relevant by the day. What happens when the lights go out and stay out? We're talking about blackout survival, how to thrive when the power grid goes down. And wow, this book is packed with some eye-opening stuff. Nova, you know what really got me? The idea that our power grid isn't just fragile, it's a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, we're talking about a system that's aging, overburdened, and held together with what feels like duct tape and hope.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what's wild? The book really breaks down how the Eastern Grid is especially vulnerable. Like, it's this massive, interconnected system where one failure can cascade into a total blackout for millions. I mean, we saw this in 2003 with the Northeast blackout, right? One transmission line failure in Ohio, and suddenly 50 million people are in the dark. But here's the thing. Since then, the grid has only gotten older and more strained. The average age of our power plants is over 30 years, and some of the critical transformers, they're pushing 50 or 60 years old. These things were never designed to last this long.
Exactly. And it's not just about aging infrastructure. The book talks about how deregulation in the 90s actually made things worse. Utilities cut corners on maintenance to boost profits, and now we're sitting on this ticking time bomb. I mean, 70% of the high-voltage transformers are operating beyond their 40-year lifespan. That's insane. And get this, replacing just one of these transformers can take up to 2 years, because most of them are made overseas now. So if we have a major failure, we're not talking about a quick fix, we're talking about prolonged outages that could last months.
Right? And here's the kicker. It's not just natural disasters we have to worry about. The book goes into how AI data centers are becoming this massive drain on the grid. Like, these things consume as much power as small countries. And they're popping up everywhere, especially in places like Virginia's Data Center Alley, which now uses more electricity than some entire states. So we've got this perfect storm of aging infrastructure, corporate greed, and now this insane demand from AI that's growing exponentially.
Yeah, and it's not like they're planning for this. I mean, the book points out that these data centers are being plugged into the grid with little regard for long-term stability. So we've got this situation where demand is skyrocketing, but the infrastructure upgrades just aren't keeping up. And who suffers? Regular people. When the grid gets overloaded, it's our lights that go out, not the data centers. In fact, some of these tech giants have actually negotiated deals with utilities to prioritize their power needs over residential areas. So if there's a shortage, guess who gets cut off first?
Oh man, it's so frustrating. And you know what else really got to me? The whole idea of energy colonialism. Like, these data centers are basically siphoning power from local communities, leaving them vulnerable to outages. It's like the tech giants are prioritizing their AI projects over actual human needs. And the worst part? They're doing it under the guise of green energy, while still relying on fossil fuels during peak demand. The book mentions how, in some areas, these data centers are responsible for rolling blackouts because they're pulling so much power that the grid can't handle it. Meanwhile, the companies are getting tax breaks and subsidies while regular folks are left in the dark, literally.
Oh, that's a great point. The book really calls out the hypocrisy there. These companies are all, oh, we're committed to renewable energy, but when the grid gets stressed, they're pulling from the same old coal and gas plants. And let's not forget how they're lobbying against things like rooftop solar and microgrids, because it threatens their monopoly. They don't want people to be energy independent. They want us dependent on their grid so they can control the flow and the cost of power.
Ugh, it's so infuriating. But you know, the book doesn't just leave us feeling doomed. It actually gives some really practical advice on how to prepare. Like, it talks about how important it is to have backup power. Diesel generators, solar arrays, even manual water pumps for wells. Because when the grid goes down, it's not just the lights that go out. It's the water, the medical devices, the gas pumps, everything. And the book drives this home with some staggering stats. For example, did you know that most municipal water systems rely on electric pumps? So if the power's out for more than a day or two, even if you've got water in the pipes, you're not getting it without some kind of backup system.
Yeah, and that's what really hits home. The book makes it clear that this isn't just about inconvenience. It's about survival. I mean, think about it. No power means no water pumps, so no running water. No power means no refrigeration, so food spoils. No power means no medical devices for people who rely on them. It's a domino effect that can turn deadly really fast. And the book cites examples like the Texas blackout in 2021, where over 200 people died, not just from the cold, but from carbon monoxide poisoning because they were trying to stay warm with generators and grills indoors. People don't realize how quickly things can go wrong when the power's out.
Absolutely, and the scariest part is how unprepared most people are. Like, the book mentions how the average person doesn't even have a backup plan for something as basic as heating or cooling. I mean, most modern homes are totally dependent on electric HVAC systems. If the power goes out in the middle of winter, or a heat wave, people could literally freeze or overheat to death. And it's not just about extreme temperatures. It's about air quality, too. Without power, ventilation systems stop working. And if you're in a tightly sealed modern home, you could be dealing with dangerous levels of carbon dioxide or even mold if humidity isn't controlled.
Yeah, that's not even getting into the whole issue of food spoilage. The book talks about how a fridge will only keep food safe for about 4 hours without power. 4 hours! And a freezer? Maybe 48 hours if it's full and unopened. So if the power's out for more than a day or two, people are looking at losing all their perishable food. That's a huge deal, especially in a prolonged blackout. And it's not just about the food in your fridge. The entire food supply chain is at risk. Supermarkets rely on just-in-time deliveries, and if the trucks can't run because gas stations can't pump fuel, shelves empty fast. The book cites studies showing that most grocery stores would be out of food within 3 days of a major grid failure.
Oh, it's terrifying. And, you know, it's not just about the food in your fridge or on the shelves. The book really drives home how the entire food supply chain is dependent on electricity. Like, think about it. Farm equipment runs on fuel that has to be pumped, processed, and transported. Meatpacking plants, dairy processing, even the systems that purify and bottle water. All of it relies on electricity. So a prolonged blackout doesn't just mean empty shelves. It means disruptions in the entire food production system. And that's when you start seeing real shortages and price spikes.
Yeah, and that's where the whole issue of social breakdown comes in. The book has this whole section on how blackouts can lead to looting, chaos, and even violence. I mean, we saw it in New York during the 1977 blackout. People were breaking into stores, stealing whatever they could get their hands on. And it's not just about stuff. It's about desperation. When people are hungry, thirsty, and scared, they do things they normally wouldn't. The book even talks about how, in some past blackouts, police and emergency services were overwhelmed because their own systems, like dispatch centers and communication networks, were down too.
Right, and that's why the book stresses how important it is to be prepared. Like, having a stockpile of non-perishable food, water, and other essentials isn't just smart. It's necessary. And it's not just about having supplies. It's about having a plan. Like, how are you going to cook without power? How are you going to stay warm or cool? How are you going to communicate if cell towers go down? The book suggests having multiple ways to cook, like a propane stove, a solar oven, or even a rocket stove for wood. And for communication, it recommends having battery-powered or hand-crank radios, as well as walkie-talkies for local communication if cell service is out.
Exactly. And the book really drives home that preparation isn't just about stockpiling stuff. It's about skills, too, like knowing how to purify water, how to grow your own food, how to administer basic first aid. Because in a prolonged blackout, you can't just rely on the system to bail you out. You've got to be able to take care of yourself and your family. The book even goes into detail about water purification, like how to use bleach or iodine correctly, or how to build a simple sand filter. And it talks about the importance of having a first aid kit that's not just band-aids and aspirin, but actual trauma supplies like tourniquets, sutures, and antibiotics.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what else I loved about the book? It talks about how preparation isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Like, if you've got a solar generator, a well-stocked pantry, and a plan, you're not just going to make it through a blackout. You're going to be okay. You're going to be able to help your neighbors, maybe even build a stronger community. It's about turning a potential disaster into an opportunity to be more self-sufficient and resilient. The book even suggests that a blackout could be a chance to unplug from the digital world for a bit and reconnect with your family and community in a meaningful way.
Yeah, and that's such an important mindset shift. I mean, a lot of people see prepping as this doomsday, fear-based thing, but really it's about empowerment. It's about taking control of your own life and not being at the mercy of a system that's clearly not built to handle the challenges we're facing. And the book really makes that clear. It's not about living in fear. It's about being smart, being prepared, and being able to take care of yourself no matter what happens. It's about recognizing that the grid is fragile, that disasters happen, and that being ready for them is just a responsible thing to do.
Right, and it's not just about the big disasters either. I mean, even a short-term blackout can be a major inconvenience. But if you're prepared, it's not a big deal. You've got your flashlights, your backup power, your plan, you're good. And that peace of mind is priceless. The book even talks about how being prepared for a blackout can make you more resilient in other areas of life too. Like, if you've got a backup power source, you're less stressed about storms knocking out the electricity. If you've got a pantry stocked with food, you're not panicking when there's a supply chain disruption. It's all connected.
Absolutely. And you know, the book also talks about how preparation can actually make you more resilient in everyday life. Like, if you've got a garden, you're eating healthier. If you've got a solar generator, you're saving on electricity bills. If you know how to fix things yourself, you're not waiting around for a repairman. It's all about building skills and resources that make your life better, not just in a crisis, but all the time. The book even suggests that prepping can be a way to live more sustainably and reduce your reliance on consumer culture, like learning to repair things instead of replacing them, or growing your own food instead of relying on grocery stores.
Yeah, and that's what I love about this whole approach. It's not about waiting for the world to end. It's about living better right now. And honestly, after reading this book, I'm feeling really motivated to step up my own prep game. Like, I've been meaning to get a solar generator for ages. And now I'm like, okay, no more excuses. It's time to make it happen. And not just any solar generator. I want one that can actually power my fridge, my lights, and maybe even a small heater or fan. The book has a whole section on how to calculate your power needs and choose the right system, which was super helpful.
Same here. I mean, I've got some basics covered, but there's so much more I could be doing. Like, I've been thinking about getting a rainwater collection system set up. The book talks about how municipal water systems can fail during a blackout, either because the pumps stop working or because the treatment plants can't operate. So having a way to collect and purify your own water is a game changer. And maybe looking into some of those non-electric cooking methods the book talks about, like rocket stoves or even outdoor pizza ovens that can double as cook stoves. Because you're right. It's not just about surviving a blackout. It's about being more self-sufficient in general.
Exactly. And you know, one thing that really stood out to me was how the book emphasizes community. Like, yes, you need to take care of yourself and your family. But being part of a community that's also prepared, that's huge. Because in a real crisis, no one can do it all alone. We need to be able to rely on each other. The book gives examples of neighborhoods that have formed mutual aid networks where people share skills and resources. Like, one person might have a generator and another might have medical training, and together they can support each other in ways they couldn't alone.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And it's something that often gets overlooked in the prepper world. Like, people focus on their own stockpiles and their own skills, but in a real emergency, having a network of people you can trust and work with is invaluable. Whether it's sharing resources or skills or just moral support, community makes everything easier. The book even talks about how, in some past disasters, communities that were prepared fared much better than those that weren't. They were able to organize quickly, share information, and support the most vulnerable among them.
Absolutely. And you know, the book even talks about how communities that are prepared can actually come out stronger after a crisis. Like, if everyone in your neighborhood has a plan and some supplies, you can all work together to keep things running smoothly. You can share food, share power, share knowledge. It turns a potential disaster into an opportunity to build something better. The book cites examples of communities that have used crises as a catalyst to create things like community gardens, tool libraries, and even local energy co-ops. It's really inspiring to see how people can come together and create something positive out of a challenging situation.
Yeah, and that's such a powerful idea. I mean, think about it. If a blackout hits and your whole neighborhood is prepared, you're not just surviving, you're thriving. You're building resilience, you're strengthening bonds, you're creating a model for how things could be. It's really inspiring. And the book makes a great point that this kind of community resilience is actually how humans have survived for thousands of years. We're social creatures, and we're at our best when we're working together.
It really is. And, you know, I think that's the biggest takeaway from this book. It's not about fear. It's about empowerment. It's about taking control of your own life and your own future. And that's something we can all get behind. The book even ends with this great quote, "Preparation isn't about expecting the worst. It's about being ready for whatever comes your way so you can face it with confidence and come out stronger on the other side." I think that really sums it up.
Absolutely. And with that, I think we'll wrap up today's episode. But before we go, I just want to say, if you found this conversation as eye-opening as we did, definitely check out Blackout Survival, How to Thrive When the Power Grid Goes Down. It's packed with practical advice and really makes you think about how fragile our systems are and what we can do to be more resilient. And it's not just about blackouts. It's about building a lifestyle that's more self-sufficient, sustainable, and connected to your community.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can find more amazing books like this one completely free to download, read, and share at BrightLearn AI. There's so much incredible information out there to help us all be more prepared and self-sufficient. And if you're just starting out, the book has a great checklist in the back that breaks down everything you need to do to get ready, step by step. It's not overwhelming. It's just practical, common sense advice that anyone can follow.
And one last thing. If you're listening to this and thinking, okay, I need to get prepared, but where do I even start? The book suggests beginning with the basics: water, food, light, and heat. Just focus on those four things first, and then build from there. Because the most important thing is to start. Even small steps can make a huge difference when the power goes out.
So true. So thanks so much for tuning in today. We hope this conversation has inspired you to take some steps toward being more prepared and resilient. And remember, it's not about fear, it's about freedom. The freedom to take care of yourself and your loved ones, no matter what happens. We'll catch you next time on BrightLearn.ai.